What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant. Still fully vaccinated, still dodging variants like Neo in the Matrix. You know how we do. Huge show for you today. Bigger than normal, although we're still going to try to condense this into like an hour or less because that's just what we do here. But this is the biggest drafting weekend of the year in fantasy football for people who haven't done their drafts yet. Usually this is about the time people start to jump in. So we figured this would be the best possible time to do our final mock draft of the offseason. And to do that, we got a cast of thousands. Actually, 12. It's myself. Producer Justin is alongside. Michael F. Florio is here. We've got Adam Rank, Kimmy Checks. We got the boss man, Rick Savage. Got a couple of our researchers in Matt Okada and Kareem Falcone. I believe Matt Frederick is somewhere lurking around there. We've got our own social Emily. We've got Haitham Kalani, one of the producers. Basically, all the people who help make fantasy happen at NFL Media. We gather them all together. We bug them for an hour of their time. I think I'm missing somebody else there, in which case, either you can say hi and shame me for not throwing out your name, or remain silent, whatever you want to do. Anyway, this is a 12-team PPR draft. We're going to try to get through as much of this as we can in the next hour or so. So hopefully you enjoy, you follow along. I guess, Justin, you can start the clock and we can get this thing just off and running right now. It's Rick Savage is on the clock first, and let's make this happen.
Yeah, you made it pretty easy. CMC is fine. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So Christian McCaffrey goes first, which honestly I was sort of hoping.
And don't be the person that sits there and runs out the clock when you have the first. You know what you're doing. Just pick. That was solid. That was a savvy move by Savage.
Absolutely. So I am sort of curious though, as who's on the clock. Social Emily is now on the clock. So we are cool though with Christian McCaffrey being the consensus number one, right, Florio? That seems to have been where we've settled at this point, that he is the number one pick. Like we're okay with this, right? We're not backing out last minute.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know he got hurt last year, but he was still averaging 30 fantasy points per game, and only the year before was scored the second most fantasy points in the history of fantasy football. So he is still my unquestioned number one pick.
Yeah, I think so. I just know at this time of the year people sort of get nervous and get a little squirrely and start changing their things. We got Alvin Kamara going number two. Social Emily goes Alvin Kamara at number two. Adam Rank is on the clock at number three. Kimmy, I got to ask you. I got to ask you how you feel, because I know you love Kamara, and to see him go number two, I mean,
I'm a little upset. I feel very upset at Emily, but we're friends, so it's okay. But I feel like she knew that I loved Alvin Kamara because I was hoping I could swipe him at four, but it's okay.
I should also give people a heads up, because some of the folks who are drafting here are currently in the office, in the new NFL offices in Inglewood, or maybe some people are in Culver too. I'm not sure. But because of that, people have masks on. So if somebody sounds a little bit muffled, like Kimmy, just know it's because they are talking through a mask. It's not, because anybody has marbles in their mouth or anything like that.
I'm sorry, Kimmy. I had to mix it up. I usually go cook there, but I wanted to try something new.
So Alvin Kamara goes number two. Adam Rank is on the clock at number three.
Wait, hold on, Justin. I know that one of the keys of this is always knowing. By the way, thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on.
I'm not allowed on the NFL podcast
that's
anymore.
No. True.
I appreciate it. Again, anybody else, don't take this as an indication. This is what you should do whenever you do this is, what's this point? Are we half point or full point?
This is full point.
I'm going to go on my diatribe of full point is stupid.
I agree.
And by the way, we're switching next year.
This is the world we live in.
We're going to half point is our default next year. Because we have a whole new staff coming in. So we'll just run that through. By the way, I'm going to go Dalvin Cook then. If we're going to go full point PPR. Sorry, Justin. I just had to make sure, because if it was half point, I would have gone Derrick Henry. I don't fear regression or anything like that.
Right.
But I think for a full point, you're like, oh, I think Dalvin is just too good. So I had to go that way.
All right. So Dalvin Cook
apologize.
Goes three. You don't have to apologize at all. Dalvin Cook goes three. Kimmy, you went Derrick Henry at four. So I guess you don't fear regression either.
Does somebody, by the way, take Eckler so Florio doesn't get him just because of me?
I thought you were going to take him, Rank, truly.
I know. I should have.
I thought so, too.
So we got Haitham Khalani, producer extraordinaire, on the clock at number five. So far, we got McCaffrey, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry. They're the first four off the board. Curious what happens at number five.
Andy Dalton.
I'm wondering, because this is sort of a pivot point here at five, right? Because there are running backs, still quality running backs on the board. Like, yeah, I see Florio at seven, and I know there's a name that if it lasts is going to be gone. It's a question of whether or not Haitham makes the move at five.
He did.
Wait, who's?
Oh, and who's, there's a name.
Who's making this pick?
Haitham.
I know, but who is Haitham?
NFL fantasy producer extraordinaire.
Okay, cool. About. Okay, thank you.
So Austin Eckler goes at five, which means Michael F. Florio is heartbroken. I'm at six. I'm going to stay on brand, and I'm going to take Travis Kelce, because that's the way I've been rolling this whole offseason.
Look at you.
Get yourself a tight end. Look, I'm not ashamed to say I'm sort of piggybacking on one of your theories from, you know, last year.
But I'm past that. It's like I was at the club, and now that everybody's arrived, I've bounced. I'm like, okay, guys, this place is dead now, anyways. And then I'm sorry,
the swingers.
There's only three of us that are going to get that joke. It's you, me, and Savage. We're the only ones age appropriate.
Yeah, age what club are you hanging out at, Adam? There's Let's no start club. There.
Even when I was young enough to hang out in clubs, I wasn't hanging out in clubs.
So with Austin Eckler gone, Michael F. Florio goes with Zeke at seven, and then Okada immediately jumps in, and he's going to take Davante Adams at number eight. I got to say, though, Florio, are you not – I feel like everybody, all the first-round running backs have been pretty much picked apart. You're not worried about Zeke there at seven, obviously.
No. I thought I had a chance of getting Eckler when Rank went Dalvin Cook, but that was not meant to be. Because I've been in two drafts this week where Rank was ahead of me, and in both, he took Austin Eckler. So I thought he was going to make it a trifecta today. But Zeke, I started off the summer worried about him, but with Dak being healthy, with him looking in great shape, and with what he did last year when Dak was healthy, he was averaging enough fantasy points to finish as the RB2. I'm banking on that, but I was debating between him and one other running back that is still on the board. Marcus, you probably can guess who that is.
I was going to say Wayne Gallman. all right. So we got Davante Adams off the board at
eight. Was it Saquon?
It was not.
It's not Saquon. No, like there are two guys that Florio has pounded the table for pretty much since January. And the other one is still out there right now.
I was going to ask a question about, because you guys got, you were so dismissive when I said Saquon, and everybody's like, oh, that guy's hurt. And you're like, hey, Christian McCaffrey played three games last year.
I'm not dismissive of Saquon.
Apparently it doesn't matter.
I just know who Florio likes. That's all.
Austin Eckler missed two games in his first three seasons, and apparently he's super injury prone. But oh no, I'll take the guy who played three games last year.
All right, so Stephon Diggs goes off the board at nine, and then that was Matt Frederick, one of our researchers. In fact, we got three researcher picks in a row with Matt Okada going Davante Adams, Matt Frederick, aka researcher guy, going Stephon Diggs, and then Kareem Falcone with Aaron Jones. I feel like Aaron Jones is not getting enough love. Like, I feel like he should go higher. Am I crazy? Anybody else agree with that?
Yeah, I would have taken him. Like, Marcus, you know the other running back I like. He's still out there, so I won't say his name. But Aaron Jones, I think, is right there with Zeke and that other guy. Like, those after the big four running backs, and then I have Austin Eckler and those other three guys as like the next four that should go right off the board.
I'm just also going to say, Florio, that other running back that you want is probably not going to come back to you.
Yeah, I guarantee. I don't like to name names in drafts, but it's hey, Jonathan this, Taylor.
By the way, it,
yeah, you can
know
say
what?
It. You know.
Florio, you're like, you got to pretend like you're a doctor at this point. Like, we have a Hippocratic oath to put out the best possible information out there, whether it hurts your fantasy team or not. And this is a mock draft.
I know I'm not.
No, it's like
him.
you're a doctor and you're at a food truck and there's some guy choking and you're like, you know what? I'm off the clock. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have
to. I don't
no,
want to name this, drop.
Name, name. Name,
like,
names.
I was going to take him if he fell to me. I know I'm not.
That's
getting
you
him.
Being selfish. Like, we're here to educate. Like, I honestly, if this was a, you can tell that any league that we play in, I always want Austin. Actually, you know what? Dalvin Cook is the only, he's the only running back I have ahead of Eckler this year, and McCaffrey, obviously. But it's like, yeah, but it's like, you know, you got to tell, like, I, okay, nobody, if you guys don't take Nick Chubb. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't take Antonio Gibson. I'm going to name him right now. No, no, don't take Antonio Gibson because I want to take him, but I'm talking about him right now. No, that's not how it works. Say who you got to say.
You are notorious for throwing people off your scent. What are you talking about?
I'm huge.
You are notorious for like talking to guys that you have mild interest in just to get some. Like, you are the king of red. You have, I remember that show, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Now you have me ranting. That show, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. There was a character named Red Herring who would just show up randomly and give out fake clues to make you think that it wasn't, you know, old man Jenkins who was the actual, you know, ghost in this whole thing. That's you. You are Red Herring. So many times.
How is it like whenever you're at, if I was one of the gang in Scooby-Doo, anytime I showed up to a crime scene, I'd be like, who's the oldest person here? That's it. That's who it always is.
That's the guy.
It's always that person.
That's the guy. I guess I should keep people up on what's actually happening in this draft. This whole thing. No, I think this is fun. I'm enjoying it. Hopefully everyone else is too. So we went Aaron Jones at 10. That was Kareem. Producer Justin went Najee Harris at 11, which cheesed off researcher Michelle Majuk. So she comes back at 12 and 13 at the turn, where she takes Jonathan Taylor at 12. And then comes back to start the second round with Saquon Barkley. The running back run continues because Justin goes second pick of the second round with Nick Chubb. And then Kareem Falcone goes Tyreek Hill with the third pick in the second round. Kareem, I feel like you kind of got a bargain there. Like, Tyreek Hill in the second round feels a little bit like stealing. You got to be happy about that.
Top two fantasy wide receiver to the last three seasons. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, you know, and like, I like Stephon Diggs, I like Davante Adams, but you know, I feel like Tyreek Hill, it's one of those things of like, you know, he should belong in the first round, but then who do you bump out of the first round is sort of a, you know, sort of the question there, and that's the hard part. All right, so after Tyreek Hill, we get Calvin Ridley coming off
the
board.
Pick.
Calvin Ridley at 4 in the second round. Joe Mixon is the 2.5. And then Florio is going to go with Antonio Gibson, which I will ask you a question about that in just a second.
Oh, see, I put Antonio Gibson out there. Florio had probably never heard of him. And then I start talking him up. And then all of a sudden, here comes Antonio Gibson drafted. Boom. And you know what? And it's fine. I'm here to help. And if I can help people like young Florio get to this place where they're taking Antonio Gibson in the second, I'm happy to do it. Even at the cost, because I'm selfless is what I think I'm trying to put out there.
I'm selfless and
trying to get the fantasy information out there.
After you mentioned him, I quickly Googled, is Antonio Gibson a good fantasy pick?
That was smart. That was smart of you.
You're like, he played wide receiver?
Shocking. All right, so I'm gonna go. I had a choice. I felt like I needed a running back because everybody else around me is snapping them up really quickly, and so I was deciding between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and David Montgomery. I have been heavy on the Monty train, so I'm gonna stay with it, and I'm gonna take David Montgomery here with the seventh pick in the second round.
How many receivers do we start in this?
It's two. Okay. It's new. Yep.
I think it's
standard NFL.com fantasy.
Yes.
I just want to point out too, whenever somebody's, I know that I'm the shining example of showing up being like, what's the scoring? How many receivers? Try to know this stuff ahead of time.
That's probably a good idea.
Because if you play in a league, make sure, because if you play in a league with three receivers, and I love going running back at the top of these drafts. But if it's a three receiver league, then I'm getting my number one running back, and then I'm locking in three receivers until the end, and then I'm just going to take Nyheim Hines, especially in a PPR league. I don't care if people know. I might have to bounce before I make that pick. I just want people to know.
No, and it's fine. Look, like I said, we're
not Florio.
We're going to keep Florio to about an hour.
I'm not going to sit here and try to hide this.
Added to the cheat sheet
because I want to win this mock draft. I'm not going to help people. I'm not going to be like that, Florio. I'm going to help you. I don't care. Draft them. I'm up. You know what? I get Austin Eckler so much that I can never take Keenan Allen and I love him, but you know what?
Do it.
Oh, I kind of want to gamble because I love AJ. I can't take Justin Jefferson because I don't want to double up. Okay, my thought here is that, okay, I'm going to take Keenan Allen, and my hope is that AJ Brown falls. It's not realistic, but if not, I still will likely have a choice of Allen Robinson, DK Metcalf, who I might pass on because I want to come back around and take Tyler Lockett. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right.
See what socially does.
So let's catch people up. So after Tyreek Hill's, Calvin Ridley, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, Clyde Edwards-Alaire goes at the eighth spot in the second round. DeAndre Hopkins at 9. You heard Rank say took Keenan Allen. I got to ask you, though, Okada, because Joe Mixon, it feels like one of the more hotly debated running backs here in this draft. Make your case for Joe Mixon in 2021.
I mean, the case is the opportunity. We always want to follow opportunity with running backs. Yes, he's had some efficiency issues. He's also had really bad offensive lines, bad offenses in general, quarterbacks that were either injured or named Andy Dalton. And so it's been rough for him, but there is no one to take touches from him. He has a very good chance to lead the NFL in touches if he stays healthy. So if he averages 3.8 yards per carry, and it's not that great, he's still going to be an RB1. And if he does take a step forward because the O-line improves a little bit and his offense is just a little bit better, then we're talking about a top six running back.
All right. I guess I agree. By the way, I feel like Andy Dalton has become the nickelback of quarterbacks now, right? Like people just love taking shots at the dude. I mean, like, he did go to the playoffs. I mean, I know he didn't win, but he did go to the playoffs. Like, Nickelback has some decent songs. People always like to take shots at him. That's not cool.
Is Nickelback one of those bands that they're guilty of every one of their songs being the same?
Yes.
Yes.
We were talking about this. I don't know if you were on the show when we were talking about this, but
yes. Who are we talking about this about?
I know that I said Bad Religion.
I think Offspring.
Offspring was the band. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still contend that it's Bad Religion.
So after Keenan Allen, Darren Waller goes to Social Emily with the 11th pick in the second round. Rick Savage is on the board. He's gone DK Metcalf to end round two. Jeez, I mean, there are so many good wide receivers that we're talking about, really good players.
Oh, yeah. Like, look at this.
Second, third round.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here looking at A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson. The only one that I don't want to fall to me is Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, well,
which
AJ
is
Brown,
who's going to fall to me?
AJ
Social
Brown.
Social E's going to take Allen Robinson, and I'm going to have to scramble.
So AJ Brown goes at the start of the third round. I know Kimmy has a meeting she's got to step off to, so we appreciate you hanging out with us for at least a little bit, Kimmy.
Kimmy,
you guys, this is amazing. Shout out to Adam Rank for hijacking all of it. I mean, this guy.
This is the only time this year I'm going to be on the podcast, so I'm going to take advantage of it. Like Don Rickles on the old Tonight Show. And again, a reference for just three people on this stream.
You know what, Adam Rank? The kids are all right. I'll leave you with that.
Oh, my God.
Love you guys.
Let me tell a story about that.
Be sure to catch Jim and Kimmy Checks on NFL Fantasy Live this year as well. Please, please do.
Rank, real quick, I went ahead and took Justin Jefferson for you.
So there you go.
So you're welcome.
Justin Jefferson goes second to Social Emily, which means Allen Robinson is available.
Yeah, I took Allen
for Adam
Rank. No hesitation to me.
Third even pick with, in the third round.
Even with George Kittle on the board, I'm going to punt. I'm going to come back and try to take Gesicki. I'm going to come back and try to take Jonnu Smith. Or of course, Michelle, I'm a homer. What do you think? Do you not see the room that I'm sitting in?
I mean,
it's like a footlocker just threw up back here.
I do have to say that that seems like the textbook definition of collusion. You basically saying out loud, like, you don't want Social Emily to take Allen Robinson, and she just capitulates and takes Justin Jefferson instead. Like, if that's not collusion, then nothing is.
I just want the second year breakout from wideout.
Stop.
So that's what I'm looking for. Right, Rank?
That's what she's doing. That's a very savvy pick.
Oh, right. So then after that, you guys
are sitting here dogging out Andy Dalton, and then you want to take the receiver that's catching passes?
I've said no unkind words about Andy Dalton on this
podcast. You
just
called him Nickelback.
Andy Dalton's going to have a good half, and then Justin Fields will take over.
Remember when Tom Savage was the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans for like an hour?
Oh,
that's my uncle.
And then what? Oh, I didn't know that. I thought Ben Savage was your cousin.
Oh, Fred. Fred.
Oh my God.
Fred, but not Ben.
No, but Ben, they're Ben. I know nobody cares about this, but Rick Savage isn't wearing a hat, and it just is.
It's
I don't know.
2 days in a row, seeing him without a hat, it's jarring. George Kittle goes 3.4 to Kimmy Checks, which makes sense. You know, the Iowa connection, they stick together. Plus, George Kittle is very good. Hytham goes with Chris Carson at number 5, who is a perpetually underrated. So now I am back on the clock. I got to figure out what to do here. I think I'm gonna go Terry McLaurin here, and I'm staring between him and CD Lamb, and it's a really tough choice. But I'm gonna go with McLaurin here at this spot, and because why not? He is by far the undisputed target. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. At least I like what he does for McLaurin's value. So I'm gonna take him here and make him.
How do you feel about your team right now, Marcus, with the first round tight end? Just curious.
I'm okay with it. Talk to me again in a few rounds, like once I figure out my complete running back situation. But I mean, so far I've started with Kelsey, David Montgomery, and Terry McLaurin. I'm okay with that. So as soon as I do that, Florio goes with CD Lamb at the 7th spot. Matt Okada with DeAndre Swift. All right, I asked you about Joe Mixon. I got to ask you about DeAndre Swift because he's a guy that I have been very hands off with this draft season.
I can't wait to see who his running backs are in week 8.
Listen, I'm doing the same thing. I'm running it back, so I don't even have to give a new explanation. It's all opportunity. Swift is going to have like 120 targets, not literally, but pretty close to that, and 50 plus receptions if he stays healthy. There's no one else to catch balls there, so I'm going with the offenses aren't necessarily great, although the Bengals might actually be, but that's they're going to get touches running backs.
So you're not worried about Jamal Williams?
He'll get like third down snaps to protect every once in a while, but no, Swift's going to get the vast majority of work, in my opinion.
All right. And I think the Bengals, I won't say the Bengals will be quote unquote good, but they will be voluminous. Like they will have a lot of opportunities to play offense.
Good word
this year. Thanks. Power
it sounds
Forest,
made up. No, it sounds made up. Like you were trying to say volume, and you just—it's like Michael Scott inventing a word.
I was trying to channel my Austin Powers there. I feel like that's a thing he would say. Sure. All right. So after DeAndre Swift, Matt Frederick takes Tyler Lockett,
He's
who
going
I know
zero RB.
Had to scroll for that one.
That's fine.
He's that... 3 receivers to start.
By the way, Tyler Lockett is so underrated. I love that pick.
He has been, I know that's the guy that Patrick Claibon has been waving the banner for on Fantasy Live, that people aren't drafting high enough. So 3.9, maybe that's high enough? He goes before Robert Woods, and he goes before Julio Jones, which should. If we're calling homers, then we call producer Justin, who is the resident Titans fan on the show. He's got
Justin's a Titans fan.
He's a Titans fan. Yeah,
I've got to be. I'll bet a hundred. Oh wait, I mean I won't. Sorry. Strike that. But if I will bet that I have Justin muted on Twitter as I do.
I don't know. I never came Titans at you. Fan. That 3-13 thing got a lot of guys riled up.
I don't know why. You guys were 2-4. By the way, when you were 2-4 with Marcus Mariota, as I predicted, there was not a Titans fan to be found. And then all of a sudden they won 9 games, which is okay. You didn't like you're not the 49ers is my thing. Like the 49ers, that was a good team. The Titans were like fortunate that the division was falling down around them. They got a couple of lucky wins. There was a fortunate win over the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes was playing on one leg. And then you guys were acting like they were the 85 Bears. So I think my predictions piece is dropping. Yeah, there it is. Look at that. Jim McMahon. The second best Bears quarterback in history.
So the second round,
the time Russell Wilson said he wanted to get traded to us.
The second round ends with James Robinson going to Michelle, and then she starts the fourth or the third round, I guess, ends with James Robinson going to Michelle. The fourth round starts with Deontay Johnson, followed by Justin getting Amari Cooper, which this has become the going rate for Amari Cooper at this point, Florio. Like, I won't say he's a value, but he's definitely become, I think, a bigger value than CD Lamb right now.
Yeah, I love CeeDee Lamb. I would agree. And I think, like, the lesson to be had here is look at the wide receivers that are still on the board at the end of the third and the fourth round compared to the running backs. It's why if I'm in a position to grab two running, like I got Zeke and Gibson with the first two. If I could get two of the top like 15 running backs with my first two picks, I love doing it because I feel like the wide receiver value here is awesome.
So Miles Sanders goes with the third pick to Kareem. Matt Frederick is going to go up. Oh. And I see scrolling, and we've landed on Kyle Pitts. So he is officially the fourth tight end now. And Matt O'Connor, I know you and I talked about him earlier this offseason. Oh, you're on the board. I will let you think about it first before I ask you this question.
Well, I'll go to the point that Michelle made over Twitter during the offseason, and she was talking about if you took Calvin Ridley's rookie production, and even if you halved his touchdowns, if Kyle Pitts hits those numbers, he would be the tight end 4. So that to me always kind of stood out. And that seems like a pretty reasonable expectation for him this season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it does. I just feel like I haven't been able to take him as the fourth tight end because I feel like you are drafting him at his absolute ceiling. And maybe it's just my, you know, I think I need to look at him as an individual and not as part of the collective of rookie tight ends. Right. I think that's sort of the hang up I'm having right now.
Well, that's fine. I think the other thing there is, like, yes, tight end 4 is probably his ceiling, but 20 picks higher than where he's going in overall ADP is also his ceiling. So you're still kind of getting him at a value. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, he's getting drafted well behind that elite 3 tier, but if he performs to what he could or up to his ceiling, he gets up to right around that area, and then you're getting him at like a 2 or 3 round value.
All right. I mean, look, I think he's going to be great. Partially because I've just been grabbing tight ends early. Like, he hasn't really been on my radar. And if I miss one of the big three, then I've been waiting for like a Logan Thomas or something a little bit later in the draft. Cooper Kupp goes after Pitts. Chris Godwin goes after that. Oh, I'm on the board now. I'm hearing you talking. I got decisions. There are three names sitting right at the top of the list that I really, really am interested in.
And they are?
Can I three
of these running backs?
Josh Jacobs, Gus Edwards, Daryl Henderson are all staring me in the face. I love two of the three of them. So I might as well just go with the Gus bust because that's where I've been pretty much. Even before the J.K. Dobbins injury, I was drafting a lot of Gus Edwards. I think, you know, his role obviously increases now. So I will take the plunge on Gus Edwards in the middle of the fourth round. Any objections?
No, that was going to be my guess for your pick. That you are driving the Gus bus.
I have been. I've been driving the Gus bus all off season.
I object. I object, Marcus, because I wanted him to fall to me. I was hoping you guys didn't remember him.
Sorry about that. Emily. No Gus for you. Hytham's on the clock now with the 8th pick in the 4th round. Still a lot of interesting names out there, and we have not broken the seal on quarterbacks yet, so that hasn't happened. Are we gonna do it?
Who does Kimmy?
Well, so Mike Evans. I should say Mike Evans goes 8th. Yeah, you know what? I feel this feels like a spot where Kimmy would actually take Patrick Mahomes.
That we should have had. Goes. Yeah, we should have had somebody take Mahomes in the first, just to have the realism of what happens in your And by the way, I created a fire TikTok about that very same thing. You can find me on Adam Rank.
Shameless plug from Rank.
Hey, man, get it in.
What is my team name?
You guys want to throw out your TikToks right now? Like, we can do this.
No, only I may plug my TikTok.
I did see that, though. It gave me a good belly laugh when I saw that. So after Gus Edwards, Mike Evans goes 4.8. Patrick Mahomes goes at the 4.9. So he's the first quarterback off the board. And Damian Harris, Rank, You're leading the charge. You're driving the bandwagon for Damian Harris right now.
Yeah, I was arguing with some 13-year-old on Instagram, which, by the way, that's at Adam Rank NFL, because there's a kid squatting on Adam Rank. Like, okay, fine, I'll just throw the NFL on there. I don't know what, but anyways, he's like, well, good luck. He's going to throw the ball. The rookie quarterback's going to throw the ball to tight ends all the time. I'm like, yeah, that's a myth that's been.
It is a myth.
It's been busted. I mean, I know. The New England Patriots love to throw the ball to their tight ends, that they've been doing it for generations under Bill Belichick. The thing is, nobody runs the ball more when they're inside the 5-yard line than the New England Patriots. And this dates back to 2018. The team that's second is actually the Los Angeles Rams. So with Daryl Henderson sitting there available as well, if he comes back to me, I'll be taking him for that very reason, is that both those teams love to run the ball when they get near the goal line. Last year, Cam Newton took all those. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be taking those this season. So for me, I think it's Damian Harris. I know that everybody loves Stevenson. But Stevenson to me is more of the like somebody who's really good in preseason, it's not going to translate to the regular season. And to me, the guy who's been in their system is JJ Taylor, who to me, when you watch him play, he is like a modern day Rex Burkhead. And I think that and you saw the role that Rex Burkhead, I know.
I love that you say that as though Rex Burkhead is like no longer with us. You know,
where is he? He's in Houston, so he might as well not be. But the thing is, you know, I think they're going to use him in that role. And J.J. Taylor's a great receiver out of the backfield, too. And I think that this could end up, I know they love James White, but, you know, if Giovanni Bernard doesn't work out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like James White being traded to the Bucs just seems like something that could happen at some point. But I really expect J.J. Taylor to step up too. I will try to. I won't be around because I got to bounce soon. But listen, we're busy.
That's what to do. It's a show day. We got a lot going on here.
It's a lot of things happening. But the thing is like I want these teams that are going to run the ball when they get near the goal line. And so I think Harris is going to get enough. I mean, he had 3 touches inside the 5 last year, but I think again, that just lends itself going back to Cam Newton.
Just a quick catch up. So Rick Savage goes Josh Jacobs at the end of the 4th round, and we start the 5th round with Kyler Murray coming up. So that's the second quarterback off the board. I want to ask, though, because Okada, you are our resident Patriots fan here, right? Like, there are a lot of guys in that backfield. I mean, is it possible that Belichick goes into the season with 4 running backs that he may rotate through there?
Yeah, I think probably. I mean, that's kind of like the Belichick thing that we've all lamented in fantasy for a decade now, is that he just mixes them in and out and you don't really know who's going to ever take the bulk of work. And sometimes it's not anyone who ever gets the bulk of work over the season. But I think Damian Harris does get most of it. I think Ramondre is like a change of pace sort of guy. And then the pass catchers do the pass catching that they always do, and it'll be okay for them. But I like Damian Harris. Maybe not as much as Rank does at that pick, but I like him.
All right. I mean, I was starting to kind of get on board with Damian Harris, and then the Patriots traded Sony Michel, so then I was probably even more in. I have weirdly started buying into late round Patriots. You know, like I've gotten on board with Jacoby Myers, Jonnu Smith, Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I really have kind of started to buy in because the value is good. You know, the draft price is really, really low. And if they hit, then, you know, you're feeling pretty good about life. All right. So Social Emily is up. She's going to go DJ Moore, which I feel like we haven't talked a lot about DJ Moore this offseason.
He plays the wrong position for them.
Yeah, for the Panthers, you mean?
Yeah, they don't target him enough. Like, they're going to go to Robbie Anderson. And now CMC's back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't know. I feel like we just haven't talked about the Panthers in general, aside from, you know, hey, we're taking Christian McCaffrey first. Robbie Anderson's going to be fine. And Sam Darnold, question mark? You know, that's kind of, I think, how the whole thing goes.
Can I tell you something? I'm already working on Stardom Sit'em. I have Sam Darnold as a start in week 1. And I know revenge game, all that being aside. The Jets gave up the 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks last season. I don't think that their secondary is improved. And Sam Darnold's got the Texans in week 3. Like, there's a chance that Sam Darnold puts together 2 pretty good stat lines in 2 of the first 3 games. But of course, that means it filters down to DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and of course Christian McCaffrey. Right. And they don't have a tight, like, do they have a tight end? Do they not?
Ian Thomas, right? Is he still there?
Dan
Arnold. That's right. No, because it's the Sam Darnold to Dan Arnold connection. How could I forget that?
That to me, I feel like Joe Brady at some point is going to start busting out an offense to where they don't use the tight end and they're going to start using Terrace Marshall Jr.
I'd be okay with that.
Mike Davis right is a good pick too.
So, so after DJ Moore, rank goes Daryl Henderson, which I love that pick there. And then Mike Davis goes right after that to Kimmy. And then Hytham going with Josh Allen. So another quarterback off the board this time in the fifth round. So now that goes to me. And I'm feeling spicy. We're going to take Javonte Williams here in the fifth round. Because I know that if I don't take him here, there is zero chance of him coming back to me in the sixth round. So I'm going to take Javonte Williams.
We're going to make it a Broncos stack here, Marcus, because I'm going with Jerry Jeudy.
So Jerry Jeudy goes right after that to Florio. I don't really know what to make. I mean, I've drafted Jeudy. I've drafted Courtland Sutton. And I sort of like a cross my fingers and hope for the best sort of thing.
I'm pretty high on Jerry Jeudy because I think him and Teddy Bridgewater are a really good fit, and I'm not as confident in him and Sutton being a good fit. I just don't think Sutton's style of play fits well with Teddy.
I know people, I've seen a lot of folks in fantasy Twitter kind of making the case for Teddy, right? That he was able to support multiple thousand yard receivers before he did it in Carolina. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I like Teddy. I'm just curious to see what happens. I don't really know. Okada goes with one of my favorites, Brandon Ayuk at the 5.8. Kareem Hunt goes at 5.9. Somebody asked, I know that was a conversation that we had ranked yesterday on Fantasy Live about, you know, should we be worried about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? And I feel like they're the gold standard for running back rotations now, right? Like this is what we want all running back rotations to be.
And it's fine. I understand. Like every team has multiple good players, so it's going to happen. The one thing that stands out for me with the Cleveland Browns is that Kevin Stefanski wants to run the football. That's his number one thing. And it comes to a detriment to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., who are great players. But all things being considered, I think that he wants to run the ball 40 times, giving 25 to 30 to Nick Chubb, and then the rest of it coming around to Kareem Hunt. And people just, I don't know, I think that we've reached the saturation point in fantasy football where everybody wants to find whatever reason to not draft players. And they're like, well, what about if the Browns are up 30 and then they're just pulling Nick Chubb out of the game? You're like, shut up. Like, you're overthinking this. Does this team like to run the football? Yes. Do they have the best offensive line in football? Yes. I don't know. Take their running back. I don't know. It seems almost too simple, but it's exactly what I want to do.
Well, and see, to that point, and I hear that argument, and I think it was J.J. Zacharyson a few years ago who made the point that I think stands, like, okay, let's say the Browns somehow do get up 30 points and pull Nick Chubb. They had to score those 30 points some kind of way, and chances are Nick Chubb was probably involved. If the Browns are running people out of the building like that offensively.
Who's to say he hasn't already scored three touchdowns?
He's already scored a bunch of touchdowns, probably.
You know what?
Picked up a bunch of yards.
The number one chief offender of that was last season, week 16, the Buccaneers at Detroit. And people were like, don't start Tom Brady. They're going to pull him by halftime, blah, blah, blah. And I had Tom Brady as my number two quarterback going into the week. I'm like, I don't care. Because if he throws four touchdowns in the first half, then you're happy. It ended up being six. But that's the kind of – that's. That can really, like, don't be married to that thinking.
Right. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say the quarterback I had ahead of him was Jalen Hurts, and I was the only person in America who had a team with Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady, and I'm like, well, I got to go with my number one guy.
So you started Jalen Hurts.
Didn't work out for rank.
Let me just round out the fifth round. So after Kareem Hunt, it was Lamar Jackson, then Dak Prescott, and then Michelle, being a woman after my own heart, takes T. Higgins to end the fifth round, and then Devontae Smith to start the sixth round. After that, it is Miles Gaskin going to producer Justin. And then Kareem will go with Adam Thielen with the third pick in the sixth round. Kareem, so you got a value early with Tyreek Hill. I feel like Adam Thielen in the sixth. I mean, I don't know how we're letting this happen. I'm upset with
Well, you know what? He's the red zone guy, 30% of targets. He's one of two wide receivers to have over 30% of the team red zone targets. So I want touchdowns. I'm ready.
Yeah. Touchdowns are good. That's my hardcore football analysis. Touchdowns are good. I know we're sort of getting a little bit long here, so we're in the sixth round. Do you think we can get through seven, or should we cap it at six here? Because I know folks have places to be and things to do. I see a lot
six
of shrugs.
Seems good.
All right, so we'll get through the sixth round because I know people have. I appreciate everybody taking some time this morning because you know. I know the season hasn't started, but the season has started. So I know folks got things to do. So we'll go Adam Thielen, then Chase Claypool. TJ Hockenson goes off the board to Matt Okada, fifth pick. You are you got a couple of Lions there, huh?
Oh, no.
You got a couple of Lions there, huh?
Listen. I wish I could say that I'm really bought into the Lions offense and I feel great about this team, but that's not true. I just think that these guys are both going to have 120 targets and it's a PPR league. So I'll take it.
You know what? I can't be mad at it. First off, Mark Andrews goes to Florio. So I am up. And I'm going to go. Where am I going to go right now? How about we go? Let's go Tyler Boyd here at this spot in the sixth
Ooh,
round.
Ooh,
So you know, you say that about the Lions, and I can't hate on it because as much as I'm worried about their offense, I've also been promoting draft Jamal Williams in like the ninth round. Take a deep flyer on Amon-Ra St. Brown. So like I can't completely hate on you going after Swift and Hockenson. Just sort of understanding how things are going to go. So, all right. So we got a few more picks left in this round, and we're going to call it. So I go Boyd. Hytham goes with Chase Edmonds. Kimmy Checks will take Robbie Anderson. So, Rank, you are back on the board. We got the three picks left in this one.
You know what? I would be looking at one of the quarterbacks right here. I think Rodgers is a pretty good one. Obviously, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert. I don't think that there's necessarily a reason to jump in. So I'm going to go with the receiver that I really like. I'm going to go with Corey Davis. I think that Zach Wilson has shown during the preseason, and this seems super early, but you're kind of getting the gist of how this board is breaking up. Nobody's drafting quarterbacks, so that means a lot of those position players, you got to kind of bump them up a little bit sooner than you normally would in other sort of situations. If there were a lot of other quarterbacks off the board, I might have done something different, but I think at this point I had to go with Corey Davis.
I like Corey Davis. I've sort of been promoting him because he played well the last couple of years. And he is the number one receiver. As much as people like Elijah Moore, as much as people are excited about what the Jets offense can be, I think Corey Davis is the guy who gets most of those targets there.
Can I remind you guys, just a really quick thing as a former Titans fan or current Titans fan, Corey Davis, classic preseason hype machine. This is not the first time his team drafted and a wide receiver from Ole Miss in the second round who missed most of the offseason with an injury. And the last time that happened, A.J. Brown was a superstar. And there was a lot of reports about Elijah Moore being a potential superstar. I would not be surprised if the whole Corey Davis gets usurped by a rookie from Ole Miss thing happens again.
Elijah Moore is the new A.J. Brown. You heard it here first.
That sounds like a lot of hater talk right there. That's okay. But look, man. You know what's funny is you can draft both players.
Some people have a type. I mean, Melvin Gordon for years was getting sniped by undrafted free agent running backs. So maybe this is Corey Davis's thing. Who knows? So Tom Brady goes with the second to last pick. And
I got to bounce. Sorry.
Yep. All right, Rank. Appreciate it. Before you go, I should while you're still here though, I should let folks know that the NFL Fantasy Draft Spectacular presented by SundayTicket.tv is live. It aired originally on Tuesday this week, but it is still available on demand. You can check it out in the NFL Fantasy app on NFL.com or on YouTube. So yeah, go check it out. Rank.
A lot of fire content on there. Obviously, Marcus was on the show. Kimmy Chacks, Michael F. Florio were on it. We had Nick Vial. There's Steve Lemmy from Tacoma FD, with John Hansen, Lindsay Rhodes. A lot of great people stopped by. If you don't watch this show, there's a good chance you're going to lose your league. Just saying.
Fair enough. Heisman produced the hell out of it
as well.
Oh, our pal James Coe. Yeah. So wait, I didn't see who was the last pick there in the in that last
Odell.
Round. Odell Beckham Jr. is what the round did. So you feel okay about Odell, right, Rick? I'm I'm torn on him this year.
I'm torn, but he's very entertaining. So I'm just going to be a little selfish on that one. Also, Marcus, you know what? Can we do a draft after this of dated references? Because I got Nickelback, Austin Powers, Swingers. There's a good list in there. Bad Religion. It was good. I was keeping track.
This is what happens when, like, you know, two people who grew up in the 80s and 90s dominate the conversation on this podcast. That is the thing to do. Adam Rank had to step out, so we appreciate him. Yeah, you know what? By the way, the thing Rick said there, though, about Odell being entertaining and just kind of wanting to be entertained there. I tell this to people all the time, like, draft players that you are going to enjoy watching. Like, I know that people play this. I know there are people out there who play this for big stakes. But for a lot of folks, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be enjoyable. So do things that are going to make it enjoyable. I've had people hit me up and say stuff like, I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't want to draft any Giants. Good. Don't draft any Giants. Like, if that's going to make it better for you, then don't do that. I guess before we wrap this thing up, there's still some quarterbacks out there. I mean, Russell Wilson was still out there. Aaron Rodgers was still out there. I mean, Florian, I just want to ask you, like, your draft strategy, has it evolved since we started, or are you still just kind of fluid? I mean, how do you come into these drafts?
So I come into them expecting to grab at least two running backs in the first three rounds. But there is a cutoff, like David Montgomery and Chris Carson for me round out my top 15. And if those guys are gone in the third round, then I'll pivot. But I'll also take like Waller in the second or third round if he's there, which, and then in the middle rounds, typically I'm loading up on wide receivers. So more often than not, I'm going the like later round upside quarterback like Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, and then I'll pair them with an upside QB2 like Fields, Lance, Tua, and if we're getting even deeper, Marcus, Sam Darnold. Like, so that is more often than not how I attack the quarterback position. But some of these guys were great values, like Russ being available in the seventh round. If he fell to me there, I was going to grab him.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of the thing that happens when you're drafting with people who do this all the time. Like, it looks a little bit different than when you're drafting with people who, you know, maybe aren't up to their eyeballs in it all off season long. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. I appreciate it. I know it's a busy, hectic morning for everybody. And so I'm certainly grateful that you helped contribute to our nonsense a little bit here today. And again, for everybody out there listening, I mean, this is a group of people that, I mean, you know, you see our faces, you see me and Florio and Rank and Kimmy and everybody else. But a lot of these folks here are the people who help make this thing go, whether it's on the production side, the research side, whatever. And so for all the things that you guys out there enjoy when it comes to fantasy at NFL Media, we couldn't do it without a lot of these folks. So I appreciate working with them. I love them. It's great. And thank you for all of them. And hopefully you guys enjoy what is a really good season to come. If you're drafting this weekend, best of luck. And then we're back next week, starting on Monday. The NFL Fantasy Football Show will be a streaming show twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, coming at you. You can find it. 2 weeks. Okay. Saw it. I was premature. So forget what I just said. Or just fast forward a week. Anyway, we're coming back soon, streaming on Monday and Wednesday. That's happening. At some point, I'll figure out the date. That should be important because I have to be there for it. In the meantime, for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if the Wicked Witch of the West melts in water, how did she ever bathe? Be safe, take care of yourselves, get vaccinated, and we'll see you next week.